So this evening, we'll be looking at Westminster Shorter Catechism question 9, which asks, what is God's work of creation? And God's work of creation is his creating all things and by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, all out of nothing. That was kind of jumbled up in a paraphrase, but that's the gist of it. So we're looking at God's work of creation, to summarize it. And so as we begin, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Hear now the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, in every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let us once again pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, as we look at the theme of you being our Creator, we pray, Lord, that we would marvel at your handiwork and marvel at your work in us, recreating us, as it were, in the image of Christ. We pray, Father, that you would guide and direct our hearts and minds to our Lord and Savior. And may you, Lord, bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. So tonight we're looking at God as our Creator, specifically his work of creation. And as we consider God's work of creation, we sang Psalm 19 to open up the service this evening. And Psalm 19 is divided into two parts. In the first part that we sang tonight, it speaks of the created world proclaiming and declaring the glory of God and what he has done. The Apostle Paul references this in the first chapter of Romans, how he says God's eternal power and his divine nature are clearly seen because of what God has made from what was not seen. So from out of nothing, God created the world, and that shows us who he is as God. But Psalm 19 also then changes gears, and it stops talking about God's creation, and then starts talking about his word. And the delight that we have in his testimony, the delight that we take in his law. And it really shows us, I think, a pattern that is meant to be followed. As we look at the creation that God has made, we're immediately drawn to know this God. We look at his creation, what we call his general revelation, and we're drawn to and pointed towards his word, what we call his special revelation. And so as we consider God's work of creation, we can't help but be pointed to the work of Christ as God unfolds it in redemptive history throughout the pages of his word. And we're called to have faith in this Creator God. This Creator God who has created all things and who in Christ is making us new in him. He has made us a new creation. He is recreating us according to that glorious image of Jesus Christ. And so the theme that we'll be looking at tonight is for us to have faith in God who is recreating us along with the rest of his creation. To have faith in God who is recreating us along with the rest of his creation. We'll be looking at this theme in three points. And first of all is have faith in God who created all things. Looking at Genesis 1 here. Now, when we consider the creation of the world, consider God's work of creating all things out of nothing. The Westminster Shorter Catechism emphasizes that. His work of creation is God making all things out of nothing. And we see that in the opening chapters or opening verse of Genesis. You know, it begins not with an argument or a defense of God exists and gives us that, you know, line for line, here's the proof for my existence. God simply begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. His existence is assumed, and it begins with him creating all things out of nothing. Now, there are various views of Genesis 1. Some view it as merely poetry. There's a balance there and a parallel between the days. And they don't see it as some don't see it as literal history of what God actually did, but merely a poetic way of telling us that God used in some way created the world and all that is in it. Some argue that it's literal 6 24-hour periods where God creates something every day during those 6 days, and then others agree that God created all things, but they think that the word day can be translated as something meaning much broader than what we would consider a 24-hour period. Those are the basic views, and just so we're clear on where I stand, I'm a very staunch 6-day, 24-hour creationist. I mean, I'm unapologetic in that. And I think it's just the language itself lends it to that. You know, some argue that the word day can mean ages and beyond just a singular day because of scripture passages where we read that a day is like 1,000 years to God, and or 1,000 years are like a day. And what we're doing when we take that text and then we apply it to Genesis is we're really misusing the text. The author, Peter, isn't meaning to say that we're to look back at Genesis and just say, well, one day is as 1,000 years, so really God took 6,000 years to create the world. He's simply saying that God is outside of time, that time is not a constraint to God. The language in Genesis 1, although it's in poetry and it's poetic, it doesn't negate the fact of it or the historical nature of it. At the end of each day, it's the evening and there was evening and there was morning, the second day, the third day, and so on. Those time constraints that were given mark what was used or what the actual time was. It was a day. Now, some argue this point, well, how do we understand then, you know, I've talked over the past few weeks and mentioned how Ezra and I have been looking at a bunch of different space stuff. We've been really getting into space things and rockets and the enormous vastness of the universe and how we can look up in the sky and we can see stars and their light is radiating on Earth. And what we know of our universe now, we estimate that some of those stars, it can take hundreds of years for that light to get here, the distance that the light has to travel. So how do we reconcile the fact that there are these stars here that we can all see, and yet some of them are so far away that it would take incalculable years, many years, a large amount of years to actually get there? You know, as we think about that, we need to realize that we don't know everything about our universe or how it works. We just inhabit a very small speck of it. And we can only make determinations by looking out from our planet and trying to decide, okay, how does this actually work? We don't know how things might work in the far reaches of our universe because we don't there. And we can't actually definitively say that it's impossible that this light could be here quicker than we think. We once believed that the Earth was the center of the universe. You know, that's changed. We once believed that the Earth was flat. You know, we've come to see that that's changed. It used to be common medical practice for you know, bloodletting. Thankfully, that's changed. As we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the created world, we begin to realize that we don't really know it as well as we thought. Sure, God has given us a great understanding of it, but there's still a lot that we need to learn. There's still a lot that we don't know. And we can't assume that we know everything about the workings of a vast universe. But as I consider, the reason why I really stick to a 24-hour day, 6-day of creation, has to do with actually with Romans chapter 5. And you're free to turn with me there if you like. Romans chapter 5, in verses 12 through 14, we read these words. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." In verse 12 there, he says, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. This is something that's, I think, quite hard for us to reconcile in our minds, because death is a way of life. We're born, we grow old, and then we die. We see things dying, you know, all the time. But death is not as natural as we think. We are told in Romans that death actually was brought into God's creation. That death was not in God's creation as he made it. But through the sin of Adam, death came into the world. And so the question that we're left with, if God used all these vast ages to create the world, how then do we explain that death didn't come into the world until Adam and Eve sinned? How can we have eons and eons of life, of evolving life on earth, if there was no death before Adam sinned? That's a question that I can't answer. I can't reconcile those two. And so that's why I stick to the 24-hour day creation account. Because it fits that mold. It fits the rest of God's testimony. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible." In the end, regardless of what position you take, even if it's a position where you reject God completely and are completely evolutionary, and you've rejected God and you're an atheist, it's still by faith that they hold to their position. Because there's really no way that they can empirically prove the theory of evolution that they hold to. By faith, we understand that the universe has come into an existence. Whether we're an unbeliever or a believer, we believe it by faith. We, as Christians, believe that God created it out of his word, out of the power of his word. So let us have faith in this God who created all things out of nothing. Secondly, have faith in God who is recreating you. Now, God created the world, he created the earth, created the universe. And as we all know the account, in however long it took from when Adam and Eve were created, Satan came and tempted, and they fell into sin, and death was brought into the created world. Now, through the course of time, we see through the pages of Scripture God's redemptive plan unfolding as he is preserving this line of the Messiah that would come. And we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that through the work of Christ, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We are a new creation. Just as God once spoke into the darkness and said, "Let there be light," so too, he has spoken into us who were in darkness, and the light of Christ has shone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do works, good works that God has prepared beforehand. And Philippians 1, verse 6, "He who began a good work in us will complete it to the very end." Now we talk about how when we come to faith in Christ, we're justified. It's a declaration of God saying that you, through faith, your sins have been forgiven. The righteousness of Christ is given to us, and we are declared righteous before God. And then after that, we start the lifelong process of sanctification, where God, by his grace, is continuing to work within us, molding us and shaping us more into the image of Jesus Christ, renewing us in that image that was lost. We are being recreated in the glorious image of Jesus Christ. There is a sense in which this has already taken place, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are new creations. But there is also a sense that this is an ongoing process, that God is at work within us, molding us more, pruning away that which is sinful in us, to make us more in line with the image of Jesus Christ. Just as we are brought to God through faith, just as it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we are justified, so too, this recreating process is by faith. It's not by our works or our strength. sure to were to work at this and to pursue our holiness, but it is God's work upon us to mold us and to shape us and to recreate us in the glorious image of Jesus. This too is by faith. So we're called to have faith in God who created all things, and we're called to have faith in the God who is at work within us, recreating us in the image that was lost, in the image of Jesus Christ. Our last point this morning, have faith in God, or this evening, have faith in God who will recreate the rest of his creation. In Isaiah 65:17 and 2 Peter 3:13 and Revelation 21:1, we have language that God is creating a new heavens and a new earth. The old things will pass away and the new will come. 2 Peter 3:10 has, you know, some very graphic and vivid language of the new heavens and the new earth coming. In 2 Peter 3:10 we read, actually, I'll start in verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Talking about a complete reworking, a recreation of the heavens and the earth. You know, all that we know now, we can't really project and think this is the way it's going to be for an eternity. We can't even imagine really the majesty and the glory of what things will be like. But we're told it will be a new heavens and a new earth. In Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25, we read these words. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Here in these pages, the Apostle Paul is talking about the created world itself is groaning as if in childbirth. It is groaning and longing for the day when Christ returns and all things are made new. All things are recreated. Now, when we consider the recreation of the new heavens and the new earth, you know, what might this be like? Well, I think we can look, you know, to what God says about our own recreation. I mean, he had told us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we are now new creatures in Christ, and that there will come a day when the perishable body will be made imperishable. We will be resurrected to newness of life. We know that when we die, our souls pass immediately into glory and are made perfect before the presence of Christ, while our bodies rest in the grave until the day Christ returns and are resurrected to that glorious image as well. We are given a new body. Our souls are made perfect, and we are in this sense recreated in the glorious image of Jesus Christ completely and fully at the end of time. And so too, the earth and the heavens, might they be completely different? They may be. Will they be recognizable? I think so. But they will be recreated. They will be made new. And how often do we think about this, that the created world around us is actually longing for a time when it will be glorified. when it will be recreated anew. There is a sense in which the salvation that Christ has won is for not only us, but for his entire creation. The new heavens and the new earth. God is at work recreating both. And the time will come when Christ returns, when all things will be made new, and a new heavens and a new earth are ushered in. And so in closing, God's work of creation points us to his work of redemption. The power and the majesty that God displays in how he spoke things into being and how he sustains things even now in his created world shows us in a visible reality of his power and his ability to save us and to redeem us. As we being 2,000 years removed from the work of Christ here on earth. And so as we consider God's work of creation, let us then be reminded of his work of redemption and his work of sanctification, how he is recreating us in the image of Christ, and there will come a day when a new heavens and a new earth are made and created that we will live in for all eternity in the presence of God, our Savior. And so have faith. Have faith in the God who is at work recreating us and who made the heavens and the earth by the word of his power. Amen.